Let's do this thing, man.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 what is up? Welcome to the Rockcast.
Hey, hey, hey!
For the next 50 minutes to an hour, I will be sharing my knowledge, wisdom, and bits of genius about music, entertainment, and anything else that happens to pop into my head.
You don't really know anything.
So sit back, take it all in, and then tomorrow morning, stand around your water cooler at work and discuss it with your friends.
Nobody's gonna do that!
I'm your host, Monty Colvin. Enjoy the show.
This is crap.
Let's get things kicked off with some of your emails, questions, and comments.
Do we have to do this?
First up, I got about 10 or 20 emails from Tobin. Unfortunately, they were all the same one. So for future reference, Tobin, you probably only need to hit the send button once. All that said, Tobin had a couple of good questions, starting with, "Hey Monty, what is the music that you play at the beginning of the show? You should think about playing some crunchy at the beginning of your podcast."
I love this idea.
Well, that's a good suggestion, Tobin. And as a matter of fact, I have always played crunchy at the beginning of every show. Going back to episode number one all the way up through this show, it's always been crunchy or Galactic Cowboys. Now, as you might recall, the voice who used to intro the show was Scary Announcer Guy, but I had to fire him. He was kind of a slacker and had a bit of an attitude, so I had to replace him with my then-girlfriend, now-wife, Lindsay.
This is fascinating!
So that's the deal on that, but Tobin had a second question, which was, "Hey Monty, have you ever broken a string on stage?" Well, yeah, I've broken a guitar string a few times. And you just try and make it through the song, and that's why you've got a backup guitar. You just go over and switch it out. But I remember back when I first started playing, I was in this cover band, and I broke a string one night in the middle of a song, and I only had the one guitar and no guitar tech. And I just kind of freaked out and stopped playing, and the rest of the band continued with the song. And I ran over and changed the string while the band kept playing. And I was kind of embarrassed at first, but then I realized, hey, I'm in the middle of Kansas somewhere, playing for about 30 people in a bar. Who cares?
Nobody!
Strangely enough, I don't think I've ever broken a bass string on stage. You'd think I would have, as much as I beat on those things, but I don't think I ever have. However, as far as the rest of my equipment, I don't think I've ever made it through a single show without something going wrong.
Unbelievable!
I mean, I've got so much crap. I've got two different amp setups. I've got all these pedals and cords running everywhere and wireless stuff. And just about every night, something would go wrong. But only on stage. I mean, never in practice, never in sound check, only when we got in front of people. And I think the most inopportune time that something went wrong was when we were playing the Dynamo Festival in Holland. And there was between 10 and 20,000 people at this thing, and I think we opened with Stress. And I can hear Wally playing the opening riff, and I run out there and jump up in the air, and when I land and hit that first note, not a single sound came out of my cabinet. And there I am, standing in front of this sea of people, and I look over at Bass Tech Bob and just go, "Help me!
You're a screw-up!"
Well, we quickly got it figured out, and I think it was the wireless or something like that, but that is not the way you want to start a show.
Definitely not.
Now, in other emails and comments, Jeffrey Elliott wrote to say, "I appreciate your love of melody and harmony as you so well display in your creative works. But Monty, please stop playing the unharmonious death metal crap.
I mean, it's horrible.
Well, I appreciate you listening, Jeffrey, and I hear what you're saying. And even though I don't really feel like I play a lot of death metal on this show, I like to expose people to all kinds of music. Because even if something's bad, well, at least you know now that, hey, I don't like that particular band. On the other hand, every now and then you may hear something kind of different and go, you know, I like that.
I have a feeling that's not going
to
happen.
So just try to be patient with me and keep an open mind and realize that the Rockcast beats the hell out of crappy FM radio that plays AC/DC and Ozzy all day, every day.
Is there anything wrong with that?
And no, there's nothing wrong with AC/DC or Ozzy, but seriously, that's all you want to hear?
Yes, it is.
All right, moving on. Rockcast Hall of Famer Dana in Texas wrote to tell me that recently he was in Virginia, and he tried to find me some of those Snyder's garlic pretzels that I love. But come to find out, no, they don't have them either. Well, I appreciate it, Dana, and everybody who has tried to locate those for me, but I have some good news. You see, I found out that Lindsay's dad, who works at a grocery store, could order me those things, and he got me an entire case as a wedding gift.
Yeah!
So I am stocked up on garlic pretzels for at least the next couple of weeks.
Thanks for the news flash.
I also got some emails and questions about my artwork. First up, Jeremy Brown left a comment on my Facebook page that said, "Hey, Monty, what's your fascination with clowns and gas masks? I've noticed it's a reoccurring theme in your artwork. Just curious." And then Scott Dawson chimed in with, "Plus, both are creepy as hell."
Repulsive.
Well, that whole thing started back right after we'd gotten dropped by Geffen. And Galactic broke up for a little while, and I just was so depressed and frustrated. I felt like we'd been used and manipulated by record companies and managers, and I was just frankly pissed off. So right before we did the Machine Fish album, I came up with this character who would later be known as Gas Fist, and he wore a suit and a gas mask, the suit representing the business side of the music industry, and the gas mask representing the evil or corruption of it. So that's why you usually see him with a suitcase full of money or ready to punch somebody in the face.
He's a nice man.
Now, the whole clown thing came about after I did the first Crunchy CD. Once again, I had some really bad experiences with record companies and certain band members. And the clown is basically a symbol of total and complete incompetence.
Oh, that was harsh.
So that's kind of the meaning behind those subjects, but why am I still doing those kinds of paintings?
Money.
Well, for one thing, I love the imagery, and it really helps me express the anger issues that I have inside. But two, as Scott Dawson put it so eloquently, they're real creepy, and I like that.
Something's wrong with you.
If you want something that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside, well, either go to a Coldplay show or hire me to paint you some flowers. Or perhaps your kids.
Well, yeah.
But if you want something that kicks ass, I would suggest going to see Slayer or go to my website, MontyColvin.net, and buy yourself a Gas Fist painting.
Okay, I could do that.
I also got an interesting question from Eric Campbell in Ireland. He's an awesome musician, and he wanted to know what the font was that was used for the Galactic Cowboys logo. And I wrote Eric back and said, you know, I don't know what the name of it is. In fact, I'm not even sure that font has a name. And here's why.
Now he has a story to tell, and what a story.
Back when we were doing that first Galactic album, we were obviously still with Geffen, and they hired an art director, and his name was A. West, also known as A. West. And this dude was strange.
But also a weirdo.
The first day we met him was on this photo shoot that he set up. And he walks in wearing one of these big, tall, red and white hats like from Cat in the Hat. And we just looked at him and thought, okay, interesting.
Crazy cuckoo.
And throughout the day, he's telling us these bizarre stories about how he got his name and how he's dating the actress Terry Garr. And he finally gets around to telling us what he's going to do with the artwork and that he's made us a logo. And he says, I got on my computer and I entered the elements of Old West and space and I came up with a font that literally does not exist. And he went on to say, your logo will be one of a kind and like nothing else. And I said, okay. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this guy is full of crap. But we ended up using that same logo on most of our albums, and that's the story as to where it came from.
That, to me, was really disappointing.
I also got an email from Brian in the UK, and he said, I know many questions have been asked about Galactic Cowboys, and many of my questions have been answered via the Rockcast. But I did wonder about the budgets for signing, making an album with Metal Blade. Brian said he's heard some great stuff come out of that label and some not so great stuff. He said he enjoyed the Galactic Cowboy CDs that we did for Metal Blade, but he wondered how it all worked.
What a crazy question!
Well, Brian, when we left Geffen, obviously things changed drastically. When we did those first two albums, we were spending over $100,000 on production, and we even spent $100,000 on the first video. Geffen had a lot of money and a lot of power, but honestly, I think a lot of money was spent foolishly. We were spending thousands of dollars on studio time, and there were days when we were in there playing wiffle ball. It was stupid.
How true it is.
And we flew out to Tucson to shoot the I'm Not Amused video, and we paid these big shot directors a huge amount of money, and they didn't know a damn thing about the band. They were trying to get us to be all serious and telling me not to make faces when I play.
How dare they?
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. So after we got dropped by Geffen, Metal Blade came along and said, listen, we don't have as much money, but we love you guys, and you can do what you want. So we bought our own equipment, we made our own studio, I started doing the artwork, we started making our own videos, and we had a blast. I think our advance for the first album on Geffen was like $350,000, and when we went to Metal Blade, it was more like $80,000. So no, we could no longer afford to hire Andy Wallace to mix our CDs, but I still think we turned out some great sounding stuff. In fact, in my opinion, some of the later CDs sounded better than the first one.
You could not be more wrong.
And finally, I got some various opinions on the upcoming Galactic Cowboy reunion show. Jeff Bradshaw said, if you don't attend this show, the terrorists win. Well, absolutely, Jeff. I couldn't agree more.
That is clearly a threat.
On the other hand, I heard from Coon in Canada, and he said, hey, Monty, what's up with the reunion of GC? I thought you wouldn't fall for this. Don't get me wrong, I love the band, the songs, and your unique sound, but seriously, a reunion show? Why not a tour? I know there's a market for it in Europe. Look around. There are a few bands who, after all these years, are highly sought after. Sorry, not you, but you could team up with them.
Go!
Oh, okay, Coon. Well, thank you for those very kind words, and honestly, that had never dawned on me. But now that you mention it, it's so easy. All we need to do is find some band that is popular and go on tour with them.
Of course.
I mean, I'm not sure how we could afford that or work all that stuff out, but that's not important.
Not at all.
We just need to get off our asses and go do it.
That's easy.
So thank you, Coon, and thank you, everybody, for your questions, comments, and emails. Okay, it's time for some music, so let's take another visit to Uncle Monty's Listening Corner.
Uncle Monty's Listening Corner!
Oh yeah, let's take a dive into the polluted waters of my iPod. And I know that may not make any sense, but it doesn't matter. Because I'm going to play you some cool stuff, and then we will discuss. Yeah, yeah, pipe down. Oh, I feel like my dad. Anyway, let's get started with a band that I recently just discovered. And I think some of you metal guys are going to dig this. They're from Georgia, and they're called Halcyon Way. So like I said, I wasn't that familiar with Halcyon Way. In fact, I didn't even know how to pronounce it. But then one day I got an email from their guitar player, John Bowden. And he said, "Hey man, I wish I could make it to the Galactic Cowboy reunion show, but I'm going to be playing that night on tour opening for Fozzy and Saxon." And so that got me interested, and I went and checked out some of their video on YouTube. And John was nice enough to send me the CDs, and I like it. I hear a lot of influences in this stuff. I'm hearing new metal, I'm hearing late 80s metal, and I'm even hearing a little progressive metal like Dream Theater. Obviously, I like the harmony vocals and I love the guitar sound. Just thick and brutal the way it ought to be. Oh, that is nice and meaty. And that is Halcyon Way, spelled H-A-L-C-Y-O-N, Way. Check them out. They're on tour with Fozzy and Saxon. And John tells me they're working on a new CD, so looking forward to that. The next selection is from Philip H. Anselmo. And you gotta know who that is, right?
Who is that?
Yeah, it's the former lead singer from Pantera, so it's gotta be great, right?
Yes?
Yeah, well, I'll let you decide for yourself.
Stop on me.
You know, on second thought, I'm going to decide for you. No, you do not like this. I mean, I'm a big Pantera fan going back to the days when they were playing bars in Houston. But 20 years later and all sense of melody is gone and now it's just total chaos. And this is not my thing. He pretty much just screams and yells through the whole album. But on the other hand, I'm kind of impressed with the musicians because I don't know how they know where they are in the song. God, remember when Phil Anselmo actually sang? Well, not anymore, apparently. And I don't know why he's so angry, because he must have made millions off of Pantera. But he's got a new solo CD, so if you're into this kind of brutality, well, by all means, have at it. I don't care for it myself, but if I ever see him on TV, I will watch, because that guy is an awesome interview. I don't care much for his music anymore, but I could listen to him talk all day.
He's a whack job.
Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for a while, you know I like the band Flyleaf. Unfortunately, their singer quit the band, but like so many bands these days, they decided to continue on with a new singer and keep the name. And I hate when bands do this. Queensryche did it, Stone Temple Pilots did it, and even recently, 3 Days Grace replaced their singer.
What?
Yeah, are you freaking kidding me? That guy's voice was that band.
Do you understand how insane this is?
So Flyleaf now has a new chick lead singer, and they've got a new EP, so let's check it out. I hate to say it, but I do not like that. The rest of the EP is just some live stuff with the new singer, and it's okay, I guess, but it's just not Flyleaf to me. And I know some of you guys were like, oh, they'll be just as good. No. If this EP is any indication, they are done. But I'll wait for the whole new album, and maybe they'll surprise me.
Maybe not.
Okay, here's something that came out recently and debuted at number 1 on the Billboard charts. And no, I'm not talking about Justin Bieber or Lady Gaga. I'm talking about Skillet.
What the hell?
Yeah, how does that happen? But it did, apparently, and here's a little clip from it. All I see is shattered pieces. I can't keep it hidden like a secret. You know, I used to hate this band because to me the singer sounds just like the singer from 3 Days Grace. But then I saw them play live on Conan the other night, and they were actually pretty good. They got this chick that plays the drums, and she beats the hell out of them, and she's also a really good singer. And so I thought, you know what they ought to do is take the singer from Skillet and trade him to 3 Days Grace, who needs a singer. And then take the drummer from Skillet and trade her to Flyleaf and make her the singer.
Huh?
Yeah, it'd be like they do in sports. Maybe 3 Days Grace could throw in a bass player to be named later, and I would at least end up with two bands that I actually liked.
Unbelievably stupid idea.
So that was some new stuff, but now something new in Uncle Monty's Listening Corner. It's Uncle Monty's favorite songs. This is where I'm going to play you one of my favorite songs of all time. So it's kind of a segment within a segment.
How amazing that is.
Today's selection is from The Replacements, and it's off the Let It Be album. It was also in the movie Airheads, and it's Paul Westerberg at his finest. It's got great passion, I love the lyrics, and it always affects me every time I hear it. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. It's called Unsatisfied. Before Green Day or Nirvana, there was The Replacements, and they influenced a lot of bands. And that is your Rock 101 lesson for today. All right, it is time to do some top tens. Now, as you recall, on the last episode, I gave you my top 10 list of my favorite songs by my favorite band, the Wild Hearts. On this episode, Jeff Koons up in Minnesota has given me his list of favorite Wild Hearts tunes.
We can't wait.
And it begins at number 10 with Piss Joy off of Endless Nameless. And Jeff says, underneath that horrible production is a classic Wild Hearts tune. And yeah, I agree. If you don't know what Jeff is talking about, that whole album was just covered in distortion. And I think Ginger was trying to do something kind of avant-garde or whatever, but it is really hard to listen to. But yes, there are some great songs on there, including Urge, which almost made my list.
Okay, terrific.
Number 9 is another great tune off of Fishing for Luckies. It's Schizophonic. Number 8 is Friend for 5 Minutes, and it's followed at number 7 by Greetings from Shitsville.
Filthy mouth.
The next 3 were also on my list. He's got number 6, Jackson White's, number 5, Nita Nitro, and number 4, Sucker Punch.
Filthy.
Number 3 just barely missed my list. It's 29 Times the Pain. And yeah, that is a great song, and Ginger names all of his influences within the lyrics. And he names bands like the Ramones, Replacements, Cheap Trick, on and on. And I'm like, yeah, no wonder I love the Wild Hearts.
Duh.
Number 2 is Vanilla Radio, which I also had on my list. And at number 1 is I Wanna Go Where the People Go. Well, good job by Jeff Koons. And Jeff is a good guy. We email each other all the time and talk music and sports. He played college basketball, and now he is in my top 10 playoffs.
Whoop-dee-doo.
So that's one of yours, but now it's time for one of mine.
Ugh.
I'm going to show you how it's done and give you my top 10 list of my least favorite things this month.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah, it's July now, which means the kids are out of school, people are taking vacations, and it's hot as hell. And for me, that means taking the kids to a public pool, which is number 10 on my list.
Oh, goody!
Pools are just a weird place in general, just because it's one of the few situations in life where men, women, and children can all walk around pretty much naked and no one cares. If you walk into a store wearing only your underwear, you're going to get arrested. But at the pool, you're exposing the same amount of skin, but it's just fine.
You're right, it is.
But no, it's not fine, especially if you weigh over 300 pounds. However, if a fat person was the worst thing I ever saw at a public pool, that would be awesome. But no, you get those ugly moms with the tattoos all over their legs. And the other day, I swear to God, I actually saw some lady with a house arrest bracelet on her ankle. And I thought, seriously, you're considered dangerous enough by the police that they thought they had to strap something on your body, but yet somehow you still feel like you need to go to the pool and get a tan. Well, whatever. After all, it is Missouri I'm talking about.
Creepy-ass crackers.
Another reason why I don't like to go to the public pool is I don't really like to swim. Mostly because I'm not a good swimmer, but the main reason is that I don't like swimming in pee.
Ah!
Yeah, there's a reason why a kid can spend an entire afternoon in the pool and never have to go to the bathroom.
They're rabid and they appear to be out of control.
Least favorite thing number 9 this month is fireworks. This month here in the States, we just had the 4th of July, and my wife, Lindsay, is a fireworks fanatic. Every year, I have to take her to one of these tents where she loads up on explosives. Sparklers, smoke bombs, rockets, and hell, she'd even buy some grenades if they had them.
She's not normal.
And when we leave that place, I don't even want to know what it cost. Because all I can think about when her and the kids are shooting them off is $5, $6. It's literally watching your money go up in smoke. Literally. So no, I don't like fireworks and I don't partake. I like keeping my money and my fingers.
What a wimp!
Now, usually during the summer, I'm going to a lot of concerts, but not this year. So far, I haven't been to a single one. Why?
Why?
Well, because of least favorite thing number 8, bands like to bypass Kansas City on their tours.
This is a tragedy.
If you live in New York or LA or Houston or Chicago, you get to see everybody. But this summer, mayhem, uproar, and Gigantor all skip Kansas City.
Well, boo-hoo.
And I guess I can't blame them, because for the most part, KC is pretty lame.
That's a horrible place.
It's a city that turns out 60,000 people strong to see Shinedown and Papa Roach. But the last time Helmet came here, they played a little bitty club that held about 100 people. And did you hear Ginger from the Wild Hearts is playing in Courtney Love's band?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would love to see that, but no, it's not coming here.
That's not fair.
So instead of going to concerts this month, I've been watching my favorite TV show, Big Brother. Well, at least it used to be. Now it's least favorite thing number 7. Oh, don't get me wrong, I still watch Big Brother. I just don't enjoy it anymore because the producers have ruined it.
How so?
If you haven't seen it, they put a bunch of people in a house, let them verbally duke it out for 3 months, and by the end there's only one left and they get $500,000. But this season, the whole focus has been on racism.
No way, man!
Oh yes, the hot blonde model made a couple of jokes and spoke disrespectfully to the black people. So now the producers of the show feel it necessary to warn me before every episode that I might be viewing some racist comments that they are not responsible for. They're perfectly fine with all the debauchery and sex that goes on inside the house. And if the blonde chick gets degraded, made fun of, or has her life destroyed outside of the house, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm, I know that's right.
Strangely enough, the first time they had the chance to vote her out, they didn't. But I'm sure the people who run Big Brother will find a way to get her out soon. Because it's not nearly as important that you be real as it is that you be politically correct. Which leads me into least favorite thing number 6, the media making everything about racism.
Say what?
By now everyone knows about the Zimmerman-Trayvon Martin case, because we heard about it for months on the news. But regardless of what you thought of the verdict, the fact is, people get killed every day and nobody cares or thinks about it. But because the media wanted this to be about race, it was a huge story all of a sudden. I'll guarantee, today, somewhere in the world, there's a black guy on trial for murdering a white guy, but you're never going to hear about that. Unless he's a celebrity, in which they will get the verdict wrong.
Oh yeah!
Speaking of celebrities, I've never really considered myself one, and apparently no one else does either. Because, holy crap, do people ever feel free to say whatever they want to me? And that's why my least favorite thing number 5 is people telling me I'm pretty good.
Oh, is that just awful?
Yeah, I know I'm a sensitive artist and all that, but I've worked my butt off over the years to get good at what I'm good at. And the last thing I want to hear you say to me is, yeah, you're pretty good.
That is uncalled for.
You see, you don't have to kiss up to me. You don't have to praise me. In fact, you don't have to say anything. But if you tell a musician or an artist they're pretty good, that's like kicking them right in the sack.
Ouch.
So just be warned, I do not want to hear that, okay?
Okay, fine.
But then again, maybe I'm just getting kind of cranky in my old age. Because here lately, I've noticed I'm getting more and more impatient, which leads me to my least favorite thing number 4, commercials on YouTube.
Ah!
I know, YouTube is free, so what am I complaining about? But do I really have to sit through a 30-second Gatorade commercial every time I want to watch a hamster run in a circle?
Well, of course you do.
It's almost as bad as pop-up ads, which is least favorite thing number 3.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. If I get one more pop-up ad from Mac Keeper, I'm going to kill somebody. And it might be myself.
You should.
And the embarrassing thing is I saw those things pop up so many times that I finally bought it.
Well, that's kind of stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, it was supposed to clean my computer and give me all this extra space, but no. Instead, it screwed everything up and I had to have one of those geniuses at the Apple store just take it off. So I learned my lesson, but really, shouldn't a person in this day and age be able to go on his computer and illegally download some music without being completely harassed by pop-up ads?
Well, yeah.
I'm joking, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, the thing I do the most of on my computer is waste my time on Facebook. And I've talked many times about my frustration with that social media, but I was happy to see a lot of people posting hateful things about my least favorite thing of a month, number two, Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it wasn't bad enough that during the 80s and part of the 90s, they thought REM was one of the greatest bands in the world. Now they put the picture of a bombing terrorist on the cover and try to make him look like a heartthrob. Sure, Rolling Stone can do what they want and we don't have to buy it. But really, Obama or Lady Gaga weren't quite radical enough?
I guess not!
I suppose I might be a little hypocritical, because once upon a time, I even had my picture within the pages of Rolling Stone. And at the time, I was pretty proud of it, and if I'm honest, I still am. But that does not change the fact that given the choice between toilet paper and that magazine, I would choose wiping my butt on the face of that scumbag terrorist. On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, you would. Ho-ho!
So it's good to see some people on Facebook leaving some hateful status updates instead of the usual annoying positive status updates that they usually leave. And those positive status updates are my number one least favorite thing of the month.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes, I know love is the answer and nothing will ever stop you as long as you have faith. And I know you're just trying to encourage others and make them and yourself feel better. But could you just do us all a favor and stop being so sickening?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you're so happy and you've got such peace of mind, but next time, just keep it to yourself.
Losers.
I'm sorry, but I'm one of those miserable people who spent the entire summer making top 10 lists and reading your nauseating status updates.
I am repulsed.
So screw you, you mother Facebookers.
Was that necessary?
And I'm only joking, of course. Before I go, I want to play you one last song. But first, I wanted to thank everybody for listening and spreading the word about the Rockcast. And I think you all know who you are.
Who is it?
Oh, well, it's people like Doc and James in Texas and Fabrice in France.
What are they doing?
They went on Facebook and posted links, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, right.
Also, thanks to Robert Frederick for pimping the upcoming GC show. And kudos to the Crank It Loud Radio Network.
What are they doing?
They've been promoting the Galactic Reunion show with concert giveaways and all that stuff, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, right.
It's gonna be a blast, and if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, I suggest you do so. I continue to hear from people all over the place that say they're going to be there.
Give me an example.
The other day I heard from good friend and world-renowned author Sam Weller in Chicago, and he says he's going to be there.
Wow.
Sam wrote the Ray Bradbury biography, and he's just a really cool guy, and I can't wait to see him. I'm also looking forward to hanging with the Rockcast listeners who tell me they're coming. Guys like Dan the Man Cunningham up in Maine and John Huff in Canada. They all say they're flying in, and I hope we can hang out before the show. In fact, maybe we can all get together and go out to eat. That sounds like good times.
No, it doesn't.
All right, well, the last song I'm going to play for you is off of a great live album that came out in the late 70s from UFO. The album is called Strangers in the Night, and it features the great Michael Schenker on lead guitar. And it doesn't matter how many times I hear this song, I always find myself playing air guitar, leaning my head back, and making rock faces.
What a geek!
It's Lights Out, and oh, I remember when this album came out, they went on tour, and they came to Springfield, Missouri, opening for the Outlaws.
Who?
Yeah, remember Green Grass and High Tides?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, for some reason, UFO was opening this show, and I couldn't wait. I got tickets the day they went on sale, and I ended up with seats on the third row. I counted the days until that show, and it finally came, and I'm sitting there, and the lights go down, and I'm going, oh, I'm gonna finally see Michael Schenker. He's gonna be standing right there just a few feet away, and then the lights came up, and it wasn't him. Yeah, I think it was one of those times when he just left the tour for some unknown reason. And there was somebody else playing in his place. I think it was probably Paul Chapman. But anyway, I was quite devastated. But regardless, this is Lights Out by UFO. I hope you enjoy it.
Whatever.
But that's going to do it for me for now. So until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
The end.